These are the candidates for the Columbia School Board. The school board has 7 members. The board members receive no remuneration. I'm going to say they don't get a paycheck for this job. There are 2 open seats this year. Columbia Public Schools have, we learned tonight, more than 19,000 students with 4 high schools, 6 middle schools, soon to be 7, 20 elementary schools, and a career center. Tonight, we have 5 candidates seeking to fill 2 seats. This is like musical chairs. Maybe that might be a better way to do this, guys. You just run in a circle until the music stops and we see who gets a chair. Might be less painful for everyone. We have 5 candidates for 2 seats on the school board. The candidates are Christine King. You're going to wave for everybody. They probably know who you are, Christine. Oh, they got name tags in front of you there. Ben Tilley. Okay, Tyler, pronounce your last name for me.
It's Lero.
Lero. Yep. Thank you. Susan Blackburn. Hi, Susan. And Teresa Maliti. Teresa. The school board candidates will each have 2 minutes for an opening statement. So where's our sign so you guys can see? Those of you who are veterans have seen this before. So just pay attention to the sign. Sorry, listeners. That's a cue for here in the room. They will have 2 minutes for an opening statement and will speak in ballot order. After they do this, we'll take questions for a few minutes, and you will have 1 minute to answer questions, and then they have 1 minute closing statements. Is that correct, ladies? 1 minute closing statements. All right, we're going to begin with Christine.
Thank you. Good evening, and thank you once again for hosting this forum. I told so many people today that this is probably one of the best forums that we attend throughout this campaign. It's very well organized and so well attended. And so I applaud all of you for coming. So as you know, my name is Christine King. I'm the one incumbent running for 1 of 2 seats on the Columbia Public School Board. You all helped to get me elected back in 2009. And I remember vividly sitting here being 1 of 9 candidates for 2 open seats that year. And I was very, very frightened, not of you all, just of the process. And in those last 9 years, I think I've served this community to the best of my ability. I've helped lead this district into really greatness. I set out 9 years ago with my handbill that is out front, and I've stayed true to what is on that, and that is to help rebuild those communication, those relationships, and rebuild the communication between the district administration and our community as a whole, to manage the district with financial integrity, and also to make sure and give the voice back to parents and teachers, especially when it comes to the needs of their children and the curriculum. My personal background is I worked 20 years at State Farm, mostly in leadership positions. I gave all that up for wanting to do some other things. During that time, I was also on the Columbia Montessori School Board for 5 years, which gave me a real taste of what it's like to be on a multi-person board supervising one person, which is what we do. In 2009, after being elected to the school board, I was continuously involved with my children's PTAs, those lovely fundraisers that you all don't like, coaching my children, being involved in some other nonprofits, and certainly getting involved with all the board committee work and board leadership. So I look forward to your questions tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ben Tilley.
Good evening, and thank you all so much for being here this evening. I am Ben Tilley. I have been a Columbia resident now for almost 40 years. When I moved to Columbia many years ago, I worked in business for many years and loved my job, loved all those things that I did. But I also fell in love with a young lady and my wife. We married, and my wife was an educator at that time, and she was my role model, my mentor. And I saw the way that she would come home from school, and after working with students and looking at the success on their faces, and she would describe what it was like for those students to find success, and I thought, I want to do that. So after many years in business, I left business. I started a career teaching. I taught second grade, which was absolutely love to teach kids how to read. And since that time, I have worked various positions for the school district. My last position was as the assistant superintendent for elementary education. One of the greatest things that a board member can do is to help with the success of the school district. That smile for those students who come in and you know that they've worked hard, you know that they've succeeded. That's why I'm running for the board. I want to help our district to succeed, and I want to help our students to succeed. My children are proud graduates of Columbia Public Schools, and they are successful because of the wonderful teachers that they had throughout their educational career.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tyler Lero. I'd like to thank you all for having me here today. I'm excited to be a part of this event. I moved up to Columbia to pursue my bachelor's at Mizzou 10 years ago. I'm happy to say I'm not the same person I was when I came to this town. Full honesty, I was one of those apathetic kids growing up. I didn't really have a lot of passion as far as community involvement goes. Luckily for myself, that has changed since I've been in Columbia. I was lucky enough to meet my wife 8 years ago now, and I attribute her to a lot of the reason why I'm here. Like Ben, I'm lucky to have a wonderful woman in my life. She has a master's in social work, and through that, I was able to see the benefit of really having a strong community support, and made me feel passionate about that, and I'm pursuing my master's in public health right now. So that all kind of led me here today, and I'm here today because I care. I care about our youth, I care about our teachers and staff, and I care about our community. And I care about being an active part of that change and making Columbia a better place for everyone who is a part of it. I want to be a member I want to be a member that has a voice in the community, and I want to be accessible to that community and really get in there and have those open lines of communication and dialogue where we really hear those best ideas and have the opportunity to better the community and make a lot of positive changes. If I'm elected to the board, it would be an honor where I can be a force for such good in the community. Education is such a strong foundation that lays such a positive influence on the rest of a child's life. So I'm excited to answer your questions today, and I again appreciate the opportunity to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Susan Blackburn.
Thank you for it's awesome to be here this evening. It's great to see the turnout. I really appreciate the community coming out to hear our thinking and our thoughts on school issues. My name is Susan Blackburn. I'm running for one of two open seats on the Columbia Public Schools Board of Education. I worked for the Columbia Public Schools for 29 years, first as a speech pathologist in the preschool and elementary settings, and then later as a reading recovery teacher and a reading recovery teacher leader for the district. I've lived in the Columbia area for over 30 years and have strong roots in the community. I have three generations of Hickman graduates in my family, my three sons, my husband Randy, and my mother-in-law who graduated in 1946. Yay, Betty. She just turned 90 too, so yeah. My goals include ensuring that all students learn to read, write, and think critically, retaining and recruiting highly qualified teachers, ensuring a safe and welcoming environment for students and employees, and being engaged with the community. School board members are responsible for hiring and supervising the superintendent, providing fiscal oversight for the district, and setting policy for students and teachers. I want to do so much more than that for our community. I want to be actively engaged in the schools and classrooms, hear from teachers and employees, and work for great educational outcomes for all students.
Thank you very much. Teresa Maliti.
Hello, my name is Teresa Maliti, and I appreciate all of you being here and for the League of Women Voters for presenting this and for KFRU's support. Some of you know that I actually moved back to Columbia because of the Columbia Public Schools, and that's why I chose to run for this office. I lived in Kansas City, and 20 years ago at that point, I was getting very concerned about the quality of education my children were receiving. I also remembered that Columbia had a long history of supporting the Columbia Public Schools, and I remembered the quality of education that I received when I was here, and that's what I wanted for my boys, and so we moved back here. Once we did move here, I demonstrated my support of the Columbia Public Schools by serving on various committees that helped educate the community on bond issues and tax levies to help support growth. I also demonstrated my passion for education by becoming very involved with different organizations like the Coordinating Board of Early Childhood Education, the Alliance for Children's Education, and also the Cradle to Career Alliance. Also, I am retiring at the end of June, and so I feel I have more time to devote to education, and so the time seemed right to run. But I do believe my years of experience on nonprofit boards and also 37 years at a well-run company give me some transferable skills. I'm very familiar with human resources. I'm familiar with budgets and regulation, also construction and facility management. I was in a leadership position for over 30 years with a variety of teams and developed a reputation for being a pragmatic problem solver and also for being collaborative. I've also been very active in the community and feel I can pull all of that together to help support the Columbia Public Schools.
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask Susan and Teresa to do me a favor. Can you move your mics up so that you almost like, you want to almost have your mouth right on them if you can? Yeah, that way. Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about that. A little more housekeeping there. We're going to start with some questions. You will have 1 minute. We will change who answers the question first. You will have 60 seconds to answer. Christine King will get the first question, but then you will all answer the same question, and then we'll start again, and when we do, we'll start with Mr. Bentilli. He'll answer first and move on from there. The first one, so many options. Please tell us your thoughts on security in Columbia Public School. Please include in your comments arming teachers or other personnel in the schools, and do you feel currently that our children are safe and will be in the future? Christine.
1 minute, right?
Yeah, you get 1 minute. Please solve that for us, okay?
Okay. Well, first of all, I do believe in Columbia Public Schools, your children are safe, and our teachers are safe, our staff are safe. We just had a meeting last night and had a safety and security update that was going to happen regardless, but the timing of it obviously coincided with some of the national events. We continuously improve what we are doing from a safety and security standpoint. We talked openly last night about bringing to the community a possible discussion about what would the community like to see regarding safety and security. In a nutshell, regarding arming our teachers and making them responsible to carry a handgun, I am not in favor of that. Do we need to potentially have more security personnel in John White's security office? Potentially, yes. And we talked about that briefly last night as well. And there is a big difference between arming teachers and having more security personnel. But in terms of arming our teachers and staff, no, I'm not in favor of that.
Thank you very much.
1 minute.
Same question, Bentilli.
1 minute.
You know, I do believe that children and teachers are safe in Columbia Public Schools. But there is not a day that goes by that administrators and teachers worry about things that could possibly happen in schools. With that said, we have an excellent resource in Columbia Public Schools, and that is our Director of Safety and Security. I've worked with him over the past several years, and he is an excellent problem solver. He's an excellent collaborator, and working directly with the Board of Education on here's what we need to be thinking about. We also have the Center for Educational Safety through Missouri School Boards Association right here in our own backyard, who also provides collaboration for school districts. It's a great resource right here in our backyards that we could take advantage of. As far as arming teachers, no, I'm not in favor of that. I want teachers to be able to teach. If we go down the hierarchy of all of the things that should come first, arming teachers should be the very last consideration that we look at when we've exhausted every other option.
Thank you very much. Tyler Lero.
I'll start with the arms one because that's the big one in the room. No, I'm not in favor of arming teachers. As far as if I feel children are safe in schools, I do believe they are. I think Dr. Stiepelman and the board has done a good job as far as trying to spread that message of what they're doing and what actions are being taken as far as emergency planning. So that students and teachers would be aware of what to do in that situation if it were to arise. That being said, I think there's always room for improvement. I think it's better to be more of a proactive approach instead of a reactive. I think there's a lot of improvement that could be made in community involvement as far as setting a culture for good reporting spaces for children to come to authority figures or teachers or counselors, things like that, to be aware of any issues that might be starting before it gets to that reactionary measure.
Thank you very much. Susan Blackburn?
The way we secure our buildings has changed for the better dramatically since I first started teaching in the district about 30 years ago. Now we have video intercom systems, electronic door locks, security cameras, protective films for the windows and doors. We're even exploring facial recognition software. So all of these things are going a long way to make our buildings as safe as they can be. As safe as we are trying to get things, I think we, of course, have to stay very vigilant. And so one of the things I'd like to propose that I don't think is out there yet is a task force where we look at safety and security. And so included in that would be city and county officials, CPS officials, Boone County Mental Health Coalition would be a tremendous asset there. They have a lot of training and a lot of background. And then teachers and employees who are in the buildings who are closest to the children that we are trying so desperately to protect have a great insight into how to keep how to be as safe as we can be in our buildings. No, I'm not for arming teachers.
Thank you very much. Teresa Maliti.
So what I've observed so far by attending the last night's board meeting, for example, and the research I've done, I want to commend the district for the changes that they've been doing for years now. They are continually looking at safety and security, doing it very systematically and improving the systems. So I applaud them for that. I think they're very proactive. I also think that it's not just the school district's issue or problem to solve, and that all of us in the community need to take some ownership and take a multi-pronged approach to keep our schools safe. I do have reservations on many different levels about a teacher being armed. One of them might be, if something did happen, how would the first responders know who should be the target? But also, the research I've done, teachers do not seem to want that responsibility, and I think we need to be respectful of what their drive to teach is.
Thank you very much. Our next question, we will start with Mr. Ben Tilley. And we're going to kind of stay on this theme a little bit before we move off of it. How would you like to see the Columbia Public School District identify students who might pose a violent risk to other students?
You know, that is a great question. And one of the things I think the school district should be proud of is the work they've done with the Boone County Schools Mental Health Coalition. Three times a year, students in Columbia Public Schools are surveyed and or their teachers are surveyed on risk factors such as loneliness, not connecting with other students. We also, I believe through the Center for Educational Safety, they have a specific training on looking at those risk factors also. So I believe that coupled with what the Columbia Public Schools is already doing would provide some excellent screening looking at those risk factors, and then being proactive with helping those students who might fall into one of those risk categories.
Thank you. Tyler?
I'm trying to rack my brain of how to improve on what Ben said, and I really can't. He really hit the nail on the head there. What I guess to add is just to add on to that feeling that of culture and family we need to try to build in schools, that that students really feel comfortable talking to teachers, talking to their parents, and having that two-way street with teachers really feeling comfortable with their students as well. I think there's a lot to be said about walking the halls and addressing students when they're going by, just asking how their day is going. I think a lot of times it's almost like a work environment where the students do spend a majority of their time and day at school rather than at home or in various activities. So we kind of have to count on those outside of homes too to be able to address some issues before they arise. So I'd like to see more more involvement is always a good thing.
Susan?
We are so fortunate in our community to have the Boone County Mental Health Coalition as part of our work with students and children. Three times a year, students are assessed by their classroom teachers through a checklist. Students also take a self-assessment And that information is used within the Boone County Mental Health Coalition, and they coordinate with teachers and counselors at different school buildings to make sure that we are really keeping track of who needs help, who needs our support. So I feel really confident. I'd like to see even more the Boone County Mental Health Coalition became even more a part of our community in the way we're looking after our kids. I think just also part of school culture is just being a family, just knowing all the different kids in the school, knowing who interacts with each other each day, keeping an eye on each other, and really keeping really strong communication among each other.
Thank you very much. Teresa?
In addition to the comments that are already made, I think it is important that we anticipate the district and also the individual schools to provide a very inclusive environment, and then that the students feel comfortable, and it's talked about where if you do have concerns, you can share those concerns with teachers or authority figures. The other thing we should consider is very proactive counseling. That also is a two-generational approach, so that you're trying to identify and help the students be identified through their teachers, but also that the parents understand what resources are available to them and how they can access them to help their children.
Thank you very much. Christine?
So when the district went through all of our changes with Battle High School, and you're probably thinking, where are you going with this? But in addition to what everyone else has said, one of our goals was to make sure that the communication between elementary to middle school, which now our middle schools were going to be smaller, that communication between counselors and guidance would be more seamless, more transparent, and they would talk more about students so that students wouldn't fall through the cracks, so to speak. And then also as we go from middle school to high school, so we wanted one less transition. So in addition to what's already been said, some of the things that we're doing really, really well involve that restructuring of what we did back in 2011-12. In addition, the counseling services and the guidance, we really need to make sure that we put those resources back there. And I've had several conversations with Dr. Stiepelman over the last couple weeks on that. We stripped them several years ago. We've slowly added back, but we need to really uphold that end of our resources.
Thank you very much. We're going to move to an issue that's not at all contentious. Boundaries. I think I'm not understating or actually I think I'm not overstating it too much when I say that moving the boundaries for schools is a messy process and it gets very personal for people. How do you feel the process should proceed since we're going to get to do it again here over the course of the next year? Tyler, you're up first.
I actually agree with the idea of doing an outside company. I think hopefully that will be able to remove some bias or outside influence on the community. I'd like to see it be able to fill our schools with a diverse and appropriate population of students. I really think that's where we have the opportunity to better learn about each other and succeed in that area. I understand it is a very contentious thing. So I agree with the giving enough heads up as far as more than a year in advance to get the idea of the change. I agree with the way they're proceeding with it.
Thank you very much. Susan?
As a teacher and a parent, I know what this issue really hits us all right in the heart and with our emotions. And we know how much moves can impact students and their lives. I'm glad we've got a process already in place. They'll begin to look at boundary changes in May of 2018. I understand they're going to hire a company to come in and help us with that process, which I think will give us a good lens of objectivity, looking at how things may fall out. Then for an entire year, we'll be able to listen to the community, build scenarios, and listen some more. So there'll be a lot of time for community input and parent input, which I'm really excited about and glad for. I'm really glad we're really listening to our community with this. And then hope we'll put the supports in to make it a very smooth process.
Thank you. Teresa Maliti?
One of the good things about our community is a lot of people want to live here, or if they go to college here, they want to stay. And so we're experiencing rapid growth. And so that puts a lot of stress on the school district. a lot of planning that needs to take place to accommodate that. And I was really happy to hear Peter talk about the long-range planning that they're doing. But the as we grow, the redistricting or boundary changes to equalize attendance is a reality. So I do applaud the school district and the board for being very open and trying to communicate with the community in advance. But I think doing it in a sensitive and respectful way, which I believe they do, is something that we're going to all need to adjust to as we grow.
Thank you very much. Christine?
So when we did the boundaries for Battle High School and the restructuring of our middle schools, I felt we did an outstanding job of really reaching out to the community. And we had two co-chairs who did not, they weren't on the board at that time. And we did work with an outside company as well at that time. And the one thing that I really liked what we did is when we got feedback from our community, we went back to the drawing board and we did more scenarios. And then we had boards up at every single school so that parents could weigh in, because you might be an elementary school now, but by the time that boundary changes, your child might be in middle school. And we're going to mirror that process, only improve upon it. We've had many opportunities since then to really hone in on this process and make it transparent, make it open. All the board members are available for feedback and for comment and to listen. I know Ben's probably going to talk about elementary boundaries. He's the king of that. And so I'm really looking for that. And the sooner we can communicate that and the more we communicate it, the better for all parents.
Thank you very much. Ben?
You know, I have been very fortunate to have worked on the attendance areas for 12 of our elementary schools, six at one time and six at another. There are a couple of things that I learned in that process. We planned a lot of communication, but we could not over-communicate enough. Communication is key to that entire process and working through that. The other item that was key, we had to listen carefully to what our community was saying to us. So we brought together parent groups, and we listened carefully to the individuals who are living in those neighborhoods and how it would directly affect them. So I hope that a similar process, looking at the middle school and high school attendance areas, will be vetted so that we are communicating and we are listening very carefully. And I hope that any organization that the district hires will also listen very carefully and communicate thoroughly with everyone.
Thank you very much. Next question. You guys getting tired yet? There is a bill in the Missouri legislature that would allow collaboration with the city on busing of students to class. This would certainly have a positive fiscal impact on the school system, perhaps, and help the city's bus system. Where do you stand on the issue? We'll start with Susan Blackburn.
I support this issue. I think it's really good when the city and the public schools can collaborate and save taxpayers money. But I want to strongly stress that I really want to look at the safety piece of this. I've heard from several community members that they're concerned about safety for kids, and I really think we need to look really carefully and make sure we've examined all angles of this. But I do support it.
Thank you very much. Teresa Maliti.
When I was growing up here in Columbia, and I know realize things have changed, but it was very common for me to ride the city bus when I was in junior high and high school, and I think it's also an educational process. That said, I understand that we are in different times and we need to consider safety, and it sounds like that is being addressed within the bill itself. But I really applaud the city and the district for working together to try to come up with ways that use our taxpayer dollars efficiently. So I'm very supportive.
Thank you very much. Christine King.
So, yes, I do support it. And I think some of the history behind this bill really goes back to about 2011-12, when we had the walking school bus, and PedNet and our district transportation coordinator and myself and Dr. Belcher at the time actually sat down and talked about how can we make bus routes a little bit more efficient, get more students to walk to school, not necessarily through the walking school bus, and could we use the city bus? And for those of you that may have remembered, we did pilot the QP pass for Hickman High School students. And so I think this is, you know, we have an idea that started 5, 6, 7 years ago, And through constant collaboration and communication and getting and hearing from our community as well, we now get to the point where we are. But like everybody else, extremely concerned with safety, especially of our younger students, and also making sure we communicate what is actually available to parents once it's, if it's passed, and it goes forward.
Thank you very much. Ben Tilley.
I remember one day as an assistant superintendent going to one of our elementary schools, and a teacher asked me, she said, the bus stops on the corner, the city bus, and it is empty at this time of day when we would like to be able to take children on a field trip. Field trips are something that is typically paid for by fundraising. And I had to look in shame and say, no, I'm sorry, you can't use the city bus for that, even with it empty. So I am a supporter of this because I look at how we could really help enrich our children in our schools by being able to provide transportation for them to events that they may not out that fundraising piece of it. The details, that's what's going to be important, working out the details of all the safety issues. But I think it's a very workable plan.
Thank you very much. Tyler Leroy.
Yep. I'm supportive on face, but with reservation. I think any kind of collaboration looks between the city and the CPS or any kind of outside organization is worth looking at to help streamline the process and save taxpayer dollars. I think there are some initial kind of cringes with the idea that as far as from what I've gathered in the community, when I've been talking to parents and people in the community. But the devil is in the details. I think if the bill comes out with strong wording and we're able to have a workable route that fits on the way students and needs to be transported to and from school and do it safely and address different concerns that may be addressed by the community, then I could be behind the idea of the process.
Thank you very much. This will be our last question before closing statements. We will start with Teresa Maliti. As the movement in Jefferson City grows to expand charter schools and school vouchers, how might you respond to parents in our district who want greater school choice?
I commend the Columbia Public Schools, and many, many years ago, they selected Ridgeway as an autonomous school, and so then they have gone to Benton, which is now a STEM school, and Peter was talking about the potential for Jeff Jr. becoming a STEM and arts school. So I applaud them for offering opportunities for some choice in our community today. For charter schools, my main concern would be any time that funds are taken away from our Columbia Public Schools to be used for a for-profit charter. So I think that needs to be considered carefully. Also, I do know there's some research being done to make sure that if you have an equal demographic of a student body, are you getting the results that are comparable to a public school? So I think we need to make educated choices.
Thank you very much. Christine.
So the wonderful thing about Columbia is our parents do have a lot of great choices in Columbia, both with public schools and with private schools. And as Teresa alluded to, we do have three elementary schools that parents can choose from on a lottery-based system. And then with Jeff Middle School, when that opens as a STEAM school. So we do have a lot of choice right now. I do want to maintain local control of our taxpayer dollars to our schools. So I do have a lot of reservations if those tax dollars go to another entity that we may not have any control over. So I do think there's a lot of details that we need to talk about, and those are things that we have been talking about and will continue to talk about with our representatives and with our legislatures and then within the Board of Education itself.
Thank you very much. Ben Tilley.
You know, that is exactly right. It is about choice, and people want choice in all aspects of their lives, and they want choice for their children as well. As the principal at Ridgeway Elementary, when it became an autonomous school, it was about choice and the parents in that school wanting their kids in an environment that they chose to be in. I have appreciated the way that Columbia Public Schools has moved forward with Benton Elementary, as the others have spoken about, the concept of the STEAM at Jefferson Middle School, because that is one of the areas that I think needs to be addressed is that sort of concept of choice at the middle school. We have lots of choice in our high schools with lots of activities. But we are a community that is thrives on choice. And so as a school district, we have to respond to what the needs of and the questions and desires are of our community and be able to provide that choice within our public schools for our students.
Thank you very much. Tyler?
Yep. I was echo what the other one says. I do like the fact that we do have some choice in Columbia, very private, public, or the autonomous and STEAM schools. I do not support charter schools as they are now. I don't like the idea of any kind of private outside organization receiving public money to really divide students. Personally, I see, I'm not going to get too political, but I do not like charter schools. I completely understand that parents want the best for their children, and I think that's what everyone wants for what's in life. And I completely understand why the idea of a charter school is beneficial to some, but personally, I do not believe that they, as they are currently now, a good thing, and do not support them in town.
Thank you very much. Susan?
I do not support for-profit charter schools because they lack oversight and accountability. I do, however, think we should really listen to parents in our community and community members to hear what their ideas are for being innovative with the resources that we do have. So I love the idea of innovation. I love the idea of doing new things, promising things, things that really reach kids. But I do not support for-profit charter schools.
Thank you very much. We have ended our question portion. You guys can breathe a sigh of relief now. We're going to go to your closing statements. They are 1 minute, just like your answers to your questions were. So they're a little shorter than your opening statement. We will go in reverse order, reverse ballot order from when we started. And are my timers all ready to go? Perfect. Teresa Malidi.
Okay. As we talked about earlier, the Columbia Public Schools is a big reason that we have the quality of life we enjoy here in Central Missouri. I feel that we have a strong board and a strong district, and so my priorities would continue to be decreasing and hopefully closing the achievement gap across all student demographics. I'd also like to really work and develop a sound strategy for attracting and retaining quality teachers. That's getting to be very challenging. Also, I'd like to ensure that the district continues to receive the confidence, the trust, and also the financial support from our community, and I feel like I can make a big difference there. I am asking for your vote on April 3rd, but to be successful, I need your help as well, because it takes each one of us to help support the district and to set goals and help with the vision and determine the future of our children.
Thank you very much. Susan Blackburn.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. I'm running for one of two open seats on the school board this year. I want every student to be able to read, write, and think critically. That's all students, students at risk, students in the average range, students that are academically talented. I want to be able to reach every single one of those kids. I want to recruit and retain highly qualified teachers. I want a safe and welcoming environment for students and employees, and I want to be available to and engaged with the community, really listen to the community. Learning occurs in the classroom between teachers and students. That's where students' lives are changed and nurtured. That's why schools exist. I'm the only candidate with 29 years of teaching experience working directly with students. I'd like to bring that perspective and expertise to the school board. I have the time, passion, and educational expertise for the position. My name is Susan Blackburn, and I'm asking for your vote on April 3rd.
Thank you very much. Tyler Lebro.
If I have the honor to be elected to the board, there's a few things I'd like to work towards. Some of those include closing the achievement gap, providing a teacher-approved curriculum to further educate, motivate, engage students, ensure that adequate measures are in place to provide safe and conducive learning environments, and further the transparency and engagement with the community about the budget. I have enjoyed, over the course of this campaign, personally walking and knocking on doors and really getting to know people in the community. Hopefully we'll have the opportunity, weather depending, to knock on hundreds of more between now and the election. I really believe that when people feel comfortable and connected, we can really open that honest, open communication and get that informal conversation that really opens up new and innovative ideas. So I truly want to be accessible, and really want to talk to the community. I have flyers out front. It has my name, my number, my email. Any way you think you can get a hold of me, get a hold of me. I'd love to speak to you, and I'd really appreciate your vote on April 3rd. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ben Tilley.
Sure. Thank you all for coming out this evening. You know, over the course of the next 3 years, which is the term for this position with the school board, there are significant issues that are facing our school district. We have a wonderful school district, and I'm passionate about our school district, but we have to look at attendance areas. We have to look at funding. We have to look at teacher salaries. We have to look at transportation costs. We have to look at infrastructure within this district. There are so many issues that I believe take experience working with those things directly in order to understand those and to be able to make decisions about those. I believe that I bring a unique perspective to the board from 24 years in business and 21 years in education. My perspective is working directly with many of the issues that I mentioned. If elected, I hope to continue to be able to work on those issues and to help the school district to solve some of those issues as we move forward over the next 3 years.
Thank you very much. Christine King.
Thank you again for coming out, and hopefully you're able to get one of my handbills outside. 9 years ago, I set out to really help with the communication piece and rebuild the trust and really rebuild that stool that helps support the student with the community, the teachers, the administration, and the Board of Education. And over the next 3 years, I want to continue doing that in the leadership position of what I've proven over the last 9 years I'm capable of doing. I'm very invested in this community. I'm very invested in this school district. I'm passionate about public education. And as Mr. Tilley just suggested, we have a lot of issues facing us over the next 3 years that I want to truly be a part of to help make this school district the best district in the state. I am the only incumbent running. I am first on the ballot, and I'm asking for your vote on April 3rd. I'm Christine King. Thank you.